I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopXCast.
You are listening to PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopXCast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
By the power of Grayskull, Autobots, transform.
Excelsior!
So this is episode 41, and this is our very special Christmas special. Holy cow. I mean, so like, how does Team PopX do a Christmas special? Oh, look at this. Ooh. Look at this. We even have a graphic. Look at our PopX graphic.
Oh,
Christmas graphic.
Somebody's,
it's so cute.
Somebody has made us some graphics. Somebody's been doing some Photoshopping, if I do believe so.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man. So I'm so excited to get just dive into this. And tonight is going to be kind of a, I don't want to say off-kilter night, but it's going to kind of be more of a conversational type podcast where we just sit back and talk, and we just you guys get to know a little bit about us and what we do on Christmas time, some of the things we like, some of the things we enjoy, and some of the things that we do with our family. So from our family to yours, this is hopefully you guys will enjoy this. Okay. Mm-hmm. But all right, so hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us here live on the PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed last week's episode 40, the history of comics and pop culture part 4, The Dawn of the Silver Age, check out our official website at PopXcast.com.
And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky okie, and make sure you head over now to Google Play or iTunes and click that subscribe button and catch up on some amazing shows from PopX Archive. While you're there, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'll surely appreciate all of that love.
Hey, you guys ready for a little Christmas magic?
I'm ready. Oh, let's like get Christmas this magic. Thing.
All right, so wait a minute. Let's count it down. Three, okay. 3, 2, 1. Boom.
Oh. I'm feeling it. Oh. I'm feeling
glowing,
it.
Baby.
Oh, snap. You're glowing. Crackle, pop. With that right there, guys, let's go right on into the news this week. Stay tuned.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
I got to say, man, Mike is on fleek tonight with these graphics. He is like, he's turned up. I mean, and he's going to be joining us a little bit later when we go into our little PopX round table, if you will. But we're getting the band back together. We're like the Blues Brothers, but we're more of a quad. You can't say trifecta,
we're
more
quad.
Of a quadfecta.
Quadfecta.
I have no
I like
idea.
It.
Anyway, all right. So anyway, leading off on the top of the news list this week, the CW announced the ratings for the 4-show crossover that premiered last week, and the numbers were pretty darn amazing. Supergirl brought in more than 3.5 million viewers, The Flash alone with over 4 million. Now, you can kind of see The Flash is probably CW's bread and butter right now. Arrow mm-hmm. brought in over 3.5 million, as well as Legends of Tomorrow with a pretty astonishing 3.33 million viewers.
Oh, yeah.
That was the highest since the pilot episodes for each series. So for the CW, that has been the highest numbers in that's the highest that they've seen in 6 years. So with the numbers these good, the CW has speculated that these crossovers could become an annual occurrence across all shows. So
I'm okay with that.
That's impressive. So impressive.
Did everybody see the crossover here?
I did.
Okay,
so I liked it a lot.
Lindsay's caught up, and then Austin, you saw it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, I think honestly, it story wise, it lacked a little bit, but I think honestly, they kind of brought it all home with DC's Legends with the whole time travel thing. Really, truly enjoyed that. I'm not going to spoil too much of that. We're not going to do a spoiler alert. But if you haven't had a chance, and I know a lot of people are on vacation and traveling right now, if you hadn't had a chance, please, if you get it just like a few hours, just check up and catch up on that. And CW.com, you can download the free app and watch it right on your iPad, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Mr. Austin.
All right, so Marvel has announced a new Weapon X series, which will pair writer Greg Pak with Greg Land. The Weapon X program has resurfaced, and this time they have expanded their misuse of mutants from experimentation to extermination. Ooh. That leads Logan to put together a team of heroes and villains from X-Men history to combat this new threat. This team includes longtime enemies Sabretooth and Lady Deathstrike. That's cool. Which is surprising in itself. To balance things out, he's brought in allies like Domino and Warpath as well. And part of the intrigue will be to see just how these characters get along. So what do you guys think of Weapon X?
Well, first and foremost, you had said Domino. And if you recall, Domino is going to be one of our origin stories coming up in the new year. So Domino is the love interest of one Mr. Wade Wilson, who is Deadpool. So, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea her origin story. So I guess we'll dive into that one all together because that's one
we'll
character.
Have to learn it as we go.
That's one
this
character I do not know nothing about.
Yeah, this is going to be treading on new territory for me too. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting some new content in my head.
I don't know if I'm right about this, but was Domino not like rumored to be cast in Deadpool 2? I'm pretty sure I heard somewhere that
that's definitely in the rumor mill. I had seen that going around on like superherohype.com. I think even comicbooks.com had reported about it as well. So I know that's cool. The big guy is going to be Cable, obviously, for Deadpool 2.
Oh, yeah.
And so who else? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. So
got to see.
All right, Lindsay Badger.
Oh, sorry. FX has released the first trailer for the X-Men-inspired series, Legion. Oh, yeah. The show is set to air on February 8th, 2017.
All right, so I saw this trailer, and it really does kind of depict a whole different dimension of the X-Men universe, where it looks like you've got these individuals who can't control their powers. And so, Austin, did you see this trailer as well?
Oh, yeah. The cool thing about this to me is, so this is Professor X's son, correct?
Yes.
This is Professor X's
Yeah, we're
son.
In a post, yeah, yeah.
Are they tying this into the movies? That's what I'm curious about. Because if they're tying this into the movies, I'm very curious to see how they're going to do that and what the audience is going to think about just separating, because they've never done an X-Men series before. So I'm very curious to see the route they're going to go down.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's one that we've seen so many of these comic book themed television shows come on wherever it is on CW or ABC or FX or wherever.
Yeah.
And none of them has fully crossed over with the exception of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is, you know, had many Stark references and Nick Fury references, even a cameo in season one of Nick Fury.
That's cool.
So it's really... I don't know. I hope that it will kind of cross-pollinate into kind of more of the New Mutants era.
As in, you know
what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm hoping that they're going with the whole franchise, especially with X-23 being a child in Logan, which kind of gives the idea, there's a new wave of mutants coming in, and, you know, they're much more stronger and much more powerful.
Oh, so I love that.
So we'll have to wait and see where that takes us, and...
Cool.
I'm interested to see it. Definitely going to put that on my DVR list among my thousands of other shows.
So many shows next year, man. So many shows.
Man, and I get the pleasure of announcing this next new segment. Holy cow.
Man.
So this past Thursday, guys, Jimmy Kimmel Live gave Spider-Man fans an early Christmas present by having guest Tom Holland on the show to debut Spider-Man Homecoming's first trailer. So besides seeing Holland as Spider-Man, we got to see a little bit of the supporting cast as well as Michael Keaton as the villain Vulture. Marvel and Sony are already expecting the movie to be a box office smash. And as well as it's even before it's even released, that Spider-Man 2 is already on the calendar and table for July 5th, 2019. So they are right out of the gate expecting Tom Holland's Spider-Man to just exceed above and beyond the expectations that they've ever had for any Spider-Man movie. And not to foreshadow Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire, who really done some amazing work in the roles of Spider-Man. But I think that they really capture the quirkiness as a teenage with Tom Holland. I really feel Tom Holland right now. And Austin, I got to see your reaction video. So what was your overall reaction? Can you walk us through that?
If you couldn't tell, I was a little excited, Joe. I mean, this is the Spider-Man that I've been waiting. And no, like you said, no offense to Toby and no offense to Andrew. They did a wonderful job in what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. This is the Spider-Man that's going to work extremely well in this bigger universe. Mm-hmm. And I love the Tony Stark. They gave us full on Tony Stark, Tony which I wasn't Stark. Expecting.
Oh.
And dude, my favorite part was the little sneak peek we got at Michael Keaton as the villain.
He looked really good too.
He looks menacing, and I love that. He's such a good actor.
And Michael Keaton, too, has got that voice. I mean, there's very few actors that just has got that grit to his voice. Like, you know, you think of him as Beetlejuice or some of his more, you know, daunting roles. Birdman, if you will.
Yeah.
You know,
technically, this is
kind of
Birdman.
It is kind of Birdman. The opening monologue for Birdman just has him with this gritty voice. It kind of reminds you of Sin City in a way.
Oh.
And, man, Michael Keaton as a Vulture, I think that is a spot on.
He could be great.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes.
Lindsay, you saw the Spider-Man trailer as well, didn't you?
I did. I think it's very exciting.
So what was your favorite part? What was your favorite part?
I like how they're making him a little bit younger and how they're interacting with the sarcasm and stuff between the friends and stuff. It really kind of
and the girls,
Youngs him down and not makes it such a serious character like I think some of the other movies. I mean, he's always kind of a jokester, a little bit more free, but this kind of takes a little more youth back into that role, and I really appreciate that part of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, when I saw Iron Man and Spidey at the end of it, I was just like, I'm done.
It's the money shot.
I'm done.
It's the money shot.
Money shot, baby. I'm just like, holy cow, this is.
I liked it whenever he reached over. He's like, I'm not hugging you. Just get out.
Shoving him up. Oh, I mean, man.
And finally, Spidey fans get what we've been waiting for this entire time, and that is Marvel characters with Spider-Man along together. And that's the way it's always meant to be. So, man, bring on it. I can't stop talking about the Spider-Man trailer this week. That was
either.
The biggest news this week, I think.
Absolutely. And I hate to move on. I don't want to move on. We have to.
Well, can we say hi to Anna and Luke in the chat? They're over there hanging out
cool.
with
us. Hey, Anna, what's up? And Luke, you guys, how you doing? All right.
Hey, how are you? Hi, guys.
And Michael Murray.
We'll go ahead and talk.
Oh, Michael's there too. Hey.
Murray, how you doing? Ignore what I just did. So during
the CW Fan Fest Q&A, Carlos Valdez, who is Cisco Ramon in The Flash, who is one of my favorite characters, let fans know that another former member of the Justice League and Birds of Prey will be joining the show. He said there is going to be a new visitor to our world named Gypsy. DC Comics fans will be familiar with Gypsy. She's going to be coming into our world, and Vibe will definitely get to learn some new skills as part of getting to know her. So how do you guys feel about Gypsy?
Oh, well,
interesting.
I mean, you know, I think it's just, it's really cool how CW finds a way to intertwine what I like to call the B-list superheroes. Whereas you would think of Barry Allen as an A-list or Jay Garrick. You would think of those individuals as the A-listers and you know, your Clark Kents and your Bruce Waynes. I think it's interesting how they're, you know, Vixen, for example, able to summon the power of animal spirits. And I think Gypsy's one of those ones, too. She's, if I'm not mistaken, she's mystic. So she's into mysticism. So she's going to be able to probably unlock a lot of abilities for Cisco Ramon in the show and help him become truly Vibe. And so I think that's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, Zack Snyder is going to be taking a break between the production of Justice League and his follow-up, mm-hmm. Justice League 2.
Well, I know,
it's okay. But, you know, he's doing that so that he can make, you know, make some room for the Batman solo movie.
Okay.
So the original date for Justice League 2 was in mid-2019, but the solo Batman movie is going to be taking that spot. So they're going to shift... Everyone shift down the line. They don't have a new date for the second one yet, though.
Okay. Well, I honestly think it just makes sense that I know that Ben Affleck is really personally invested a lot into the character as Bruce Wayne. I know that he this is a role that he doesn't take for granted, and I know that from the multiple interviews that I've seen with him. So having an individual Batman film would actually be a benefit, I think, to the DC Universe because it would tie in more into the Justice League with a possible depth of a backstory that could maybe lead into Justice League 2. So there's a lot there that they can work with, and I think it's smart. I think it's smart. Don't rush it. Develop the characters, develop the stories, and you know just let the stories and the superheroes take themselves.
I know that... Mr. Affleck has gotten a lot of flack for being Batman. Everybody making fun of him, Batfleck, whatever. Do you think this solo movie is going to give him a chance to kind of redeem himself and to prove that he can be a worthy Batman in the eyes of the fans?
I that's a really good question, Lindsay. And I honestly think that with Batman versus Superman, despite how bad the storyline was, I think if you were to break down his actual role and cast as Batman in Batman versus Superman, everything was just... For me, it worked. I mean, he had the chiseled chin. He had the grit. He had just every aspect that embodies the Wayne family. And I thought it was really stunning, his portrayal of Batman. And I think he's already kind of redeemed himself. But I think that despite the bad story that was... The movie itself is not bad. I mean, it's just the storyline is just really drawn out. If you go to see Batman versus Superman, please don't see the theatrical cut, watch the extended cut, and that way you'll get more of the story and a lot of it will make sense. And getting back to Lindsay's question, I think that Ben Affleck, this is kind of going to be the role that kind of reprises and reboots his career, much like it was for Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. I think that, Ben Affleck's been struggling for a while to kind of break into the mold. And, you know, you look at Matt Damon as Bourne, Identity and Bourne, yeah. Jason Bourne. I think this is going to be his Bourne legacy. So that's my take on it, though. Austin, okay. What do you think about it?
Well, here's my thoughts. The thing about this Ben Affleck is Batman thing, I feel like all of the haters and the naysayers, they're going to go bye-bye once he directs this standalone Batman movie. You know why? Because he is one of the best directors in Hollywood right now, and he does the best job that he can do is when he directs himself. And every movie that he has been in that he has directed has been fantastic, nominated for Oscar. The movie that he has coming out, Live by Night, everybody is saying that's going to get nominated. Why? Because he is one of the best directors in Hollywood. So I think this Batman standalone film is going to be what the DC Extended Universe needs when it comes out. And I think it's going to deliver. I have no doubts in my mind.
You know, I'm keeping an optimistic outlook on this, too. I know that my husband is very cynical of the Batfleck, so I always have to be the positive side in the argument. But I have high hopes for him to carry on the legacy and to be a success for him.
Absolutely. And I really, really want this to succeed because I really am enjoying this rendition of Batman. And it's kind of a rendition that I think... I don't want to say it surpasses Tim Burton's vision, nor does Christopher Nolan's vision, because those two Batmans are in eras and genres completely of their own. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the Batman for today.
And it's hard to compare.
It is. You can't compare Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck. I'm sorry. You just can't compare the two because it's two different styles of a Batman. And so anyway, so wow, that was a really good rant on bats, right?
Gotta love the bats.
Bats. Well, hello, bats. Joker.
Yeah. Wait for it. Yes, that's bats.
All right, so with that out of the way, guys, it is officially time to run into our Christmas segment head on here. We're going to do a little, and we want to give recognition right now over in the chat room. We got Michael, Murray, Anna's hanging out with us, as well as Luke. You guys feel free to share this out on your social medias. Just hit the old share button there if you're watching this on the live stream. Share it on your feeds, on your Twitters, on your Instagrams, or, you know, maybe even get a tattoo of it. You know, whatever works. We'll take it. So how we're going to do this is I think that we're going to have Mike just kind of join us, if he can, on camera for the first time in a long while. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work, but hopefully he'll be able to chime in here and share some stuff. But we actually went through this, and I know that this list might be a little long and it might be pretty much extended, but I think when I was thinking about Christmas movies, so we're going to give you our top five Christmas movies. So you're going to hear 20 different variations of movies here tonight, as well as some of our favorite family traditions. And if there's time at the end, we're going to share with you what our Santa wish list is this year. What is that one big thing? Not like 5 or 10 or 15. What is that one thing you really want this Christmas? And what do you want? Do you want it under the tree? I mean, what is it? Is it an NES classic? Is it, I don't know. Is it Call of Duty or is it Battlefield? I don't know. I don't know what you're in. Minecraft. I don't know what you're into. Or maybe it's just a comic book. I don't know. Some people are just pleased so differently. But so I'm going to lead this out, and then we'll have, I think it's Austin will do it. And what we'll do is we'll just share our number five. Each of us share our number five. And okay. Then we'll just go the four, then three, then two, one, and just keep on going. But
I like it.
So when you think of Christmas movies, I mean, once mine, you automatically go to the classics like Charlie Brown's Christmas and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about the Jim Carrey version. I'm talking about the original version, you know, the one from the 60s. Of course, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is on top of that list, and many more classics. But you got to remember, so for me, this is Joe Burke's list, and I'm not normal. I'm Abby normal, okay? So especially when it comes to Christmas movies, you know, I my list, you can kind of expect, is going to be a little weird. And there might be some ones on this list you're going to be like, really, Joe? This is on your top five? I would have expected so much more out of you. But we'll unpack that here in just a second. So here are my demented and glorious top five Christmas movies that I have to see every year. I mean, when it hits right after Thanksgiving, one of these movies is in the Blu-ray player playing at home. So my number five is Home Alone 1 and 2. Now, I can't separate 1 and 2 because it's a continuation of the story between Kevin and the bandits. So you got the wet bandits and the stinky bandits. So you just can't choose either 1 or 2. You kind of have to mention the Macaulay Culkin films as kind of basically one film. They're kind of a continuation of each other. And I think they're both equally awesome. They're heartwarming, belly-laughing fun. There's scenes in there, especially like when Joe Pesci's doing his rickum rickum frickum rickum rickum frickum rickum. I mean, every time he does that, man, I'm just like rolling in the chair. It doesn't matter how many times I see it. I freaking love Joe Pesci. And so, you know, or you remember the old keep the change, you filthy animals? Just the angels with filthy souls, you know? It's just every time I see that, and a lot of people don't know that those little black and white movies that Kevin is watching on the screen, those were actually filmed and made exclusively for the Home Alone. So those aren't old movies. Those are actually, and even in part two, Angels with Filthier Souls is playing in the background. You smooching with my brother, see? Yeah, get down on your knees and tell me you love me. So it's those funny moments. And seeing Tim Curry scour in Home Alone 2 down the... Get back in your rooms! There's fire! Get back in your rooms! So, it brings me a lot of joy, the Home Alone films. And with that, I'll go to Austin for his number five.
Oh, Joe, it took everything in me not to put Home Alone on my list. Because I love those movies. Mm-hmm. I adore those movies. Yeah. Except for the ones after the first
yeah,
two.
Yeah, you can't mention the number three and four.
But my number five is kind of... it's a little unconventional And the only reason that's the only reason I am putting this fifth on my list is because of how weird of a choice this is. So The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Good choice.
The Tim Burton movie. Now, one would say, oh, well, isn't that more of a Halloween movie? But you know what? I didn't put this in my Halloween list, so I'm putting it on this list because I didn't even think about that, right? So this is a movie that I think is a big impact on a generation right now, because there is this cult group of people who follow this movie religiously. You guys know about these guys? There's even a Facebook page, and I think it's got like 1 million people following it, and it's just all quotes and videos from this movie. I mean, it's insane how big of an impact this movie had on basically a generation. Mm-hmm. And it covers like the same themes that most of the Tim Burton movies cover, but the way that this animation is done and the way that this movie like takes twists and turns on Halloween and Christmas, and it has comedy, but it's also kind of scary for kids. I love everything about this chilling and horrifying take on Christmas. And if you guys want something that's, you know, a little less lighthearted than most Christmas movies are, I would recommend watching this if you haven't already. So I'm curious, have you guys ever seen The Nightmare Before Christmas?
I have it on Blu-ray. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So do I. It's so good. I love it. And every time I go back to it, I see something new that I didn't notice before.
Friendly,
so it's just
faces,
it's one of those movies
everywhere.
It's so good. And the music in it is just, it's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
It's
and great. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Good choice, man.
Thank you.
All right, you guys ready for my five? Number five?
Do it.
All right. This one's a little off the wall too, but Ernest Saves Christmas. Now, do you guys remember Ernest? Jim Varney, yes. A.K.A. Ernest P. Worrell, had a series of movies spin off from his TV show, Hey Vern, It's Ernest.
That's great.
And this was actually one of them. If you were a kid of the late 80s/early 90s, you would remember the zany antics of Ernest and his always faithful cameraman, Vern. You know what I mean, Vern?
Hey, Vern.
You know what I mean?
Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern.
I chose this movie because it's a sure bet it will slingshot me back to my childhood days of watching Saturday morning cartoons. Yes, even at Christmas time, the Saturday morning cartoons must go on.
Yes.
All right, so it's a joy to go along with Ernest as he tries to help the current aging Santa to find a younger replacement to pass the torch and carry on the tradition of Santa Claus. You can never go wrong with Ernest. He's always going to give you a laughing and giggling, and he's so goofy and wonky, and it doesn't matter what he's doing.
And you know, I'm so glad that you put that on there too, because Jim Varney is such a wonderful actor.
I miss him. He's not around.
Yeah, he passed away in the late 90s, and I think his last role was in the Beverly Hillbillies. Was one of the last roles that he played in. And he played Jed, but man, Lindsay, that's a good one, a good choice, and a good homage.
It makes me want to go back and watch like all of them all over again, especially Ernest Goes to Camp. That was my favorite of all.
Ernest Goes to Camp. Oh my gosh, that was one. That was the movie that put Ernest P. Worrell on my radar.
Best movie ever.
I remember him looking in the toilets in the opening scene. He going, "Ew."
And his buddy that always had the eyes going back and forth.
Eggs erroneous.
And he always squealed like a pig.
I mean, all right. Moving on.
All right, moving on.
Oh, man.
Jim Varney, man. That's freaking awesome.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, Badger. All right, so my number four. Look at this. Oh, wait.
Wait, we got to have Mikey's number five.
Mikey's number five.
Mike.
Are you here, Mike? Can't hear you, Mike. Oh, hold on a minute. Hold on 1 second here. Let me unmute Mike from the thing here. There you go, Mikey. I don't mean to turn you off. So what do you got for us, Mike?
All good. I'm gonna go with my number five is Deck the Halls.
Really?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. For some reason that movie just strikes me funny with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito. They're just
That's a good choice.
Two neighbors on, you know, who wants to be the who wants to have the best house for set up, you know, for lights and everything for Christmas. And it was just to watch the two of them battle it out. I just find that movie hysterical. And the idea was to get those guys, you know, to to go at each other, and who can have the best house that can be seen from space? I mean, how could you not beat that?
Leave it to Danny DeVito, too, man. I mean, yeah. Oh, my God. That is a good one, and that's one I haven't seen in a while. I may have to watch that one this week. But
yeah, I just caught that not too long ago. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick is so great. He is so
He's awesome, man.
I mean, I'm such a huge fan. I'm glad you included that one on this list too, Mike. That's a stellar one. And so when did you first did you watch it in the theater, or was it just one of the ones that you just kind of watched later on?
It was one later on I caught on HBO or something like that, and okay. I just happened to flip it on about the middle of it, and I just saw where everything was going on. So I got to watch this movie from the beginning, and then I finally got a chance to watch it. And
that's awesome.
It was
man.
Just I could watch it a bunch of times.
Yeah. That's
funny.
And it's not the same thing for all these movies. I mean, you can watch these movies over and over so many times and just truly never get, you know, which leads me to the number four. So now we're all going to share our number four as we're rolling along. Now, my number four, again, this is Joe Burke. I'm not normal. I want to put on a movie from last year. It's actually a horror flick. It's called Krampus. And so this is a newcomer to the list from 2015, like I said, which combines horror, cheesy monsters, and thrilling fun. And I had the privilege to do both haunted houses this year in 2016 across from coast to coast, from Orlando to Las Vegas. So in Las Vegas, they did at the Fright Dome and Circus, they did Krampus, their version of Krampus.
Oh, cool.
Which was, I think, even more demented and demonic and evil than the Orlando version of Krampus, which Orlando, of course, owns the movie rights to the film. So they're going to have all the characters and the actual props from the movies in the haunted houses. And so I got to walk through these and see and relive Krampus. So one of my favorite newcomers to the list is definitely not one you would expect. It's a horror genre film. But it's really good. You got to watch the.
I would never guess that one.
You got to see the gingerbread men come to life and start tearing up the house.
Oh man,
I'm telling you, it's
so
it's,
creepy.
It's great. It's good.
I think I'll just take your word for it.
All right, awesome,
Joe. I like the idea of taking something scary and putting it on your list, man. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But I'm going to move on to my number four and the Polar Express. This is one of those animated films that I feel gets forgotten more often than not. It gets overshadowed by these wonderful Pixar movies and these DreamWorks movies. But The Polar Express was a movie that, for me, gave us one of the best Tom Hanks performances ever. His voice performance in this movie, to me, is iconic.
Yeah.
You have to remember this, too. I watched this movie when I was in 6th and 7th and 8th grade. So this hit me really like the prime time of watching a movie as a child and continuing to watch it as you get older. But The Polar Express is so magical. It's so heartfelt. It wasn't the biggest critical hit at the time, but I feel like as the years have passed, people begin to give this movie more praise. And it's like, oh, what's a great animated movie that's often forgotten? The Polar Express. It's one of those that I feel like it's going to live on through Christmas. And it's one of those that continues to play all the freaking time during Christmas. I see this on ABC Family at least 3 to 4 times during Christmas. So I've definitely watched it enough. But for me, The Polar Express is pretty awesome, man. It's pretty awesome.
It makes me want to go and grab some hot cocoa. Hot cocoa.
Oh, I love that. It's so good.
All right. Well, my number four is The Santa Claus. And actually, it's kind of all three movies, but mainly just the first one.
Yes.
Who would have thought that Tim Allen as Santa Claus would be so perfect, you guys? Seriously. To be honest, I still catch myself calling him Tim the Toolman Taylor. It will be forever Tim the Toolman Taylor for me. This trilogy of movies is bursting at the seams with wonder and magic and just the right amount of humor sprinkled on top. It confirms and solidifies all the rumors and questions children have about Santa. Where does he live? How does he do it all in one night? What does Santa do for the rest of the year? Is there really a workshop at the North Pole? It's like the official everything you wanted to know about Santa guide that all children must watch. Mm. So that's why I added it on my list. And it does put a little bit of a modern twist onto it. Well, for its time. But I have to watch it every year.
We just finished part one about two or three nights ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I have that CD player, the cocoa and cookie dispenser.
Yeah, it's all about that. Yeah. Right on the sleigh too, man. He's got the cookie warmer and the cocoa maker. All right, Mike, what's your number four, my friend?
Number four, I'm going to also go with Austin and the Polar Express.
Nice.
I just love that movie. I saw it in the theater when it first came out. And then I think the following Christmas, they released it in IMAX. And to watch that roller coaster train scene in IMAX.
You saw it
amazing.
In IMAX, Mike?
Oh, I bet that was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
That was amazing. Man. You know, I mean, that movie's got everything Christmassy, you know, from trains, the snow, the North Pole. I mean, and just the style of animation, it was just, it was completely different than, you know, your traditional Pixar type animation, you know, stuff like that. And I guess it was just all, it was completely motion capture. And that was what I guess kind of pushed it from me. I really enjoyed that.
Wow.
So, but I mean, I have it on Blu-ray and we, you know, we watch it. You know, every year.
Can you imagine seeing that movie in 4K? I know it's not—it's not out yet. I know it's not out yet, but I mean, that movie is just so beautiful. The animation is gorgeous. Yeah, awesome. Well, cool. Thank you, Mikey. And so, as we move on to number three again, I gotta throw up a huge warning here.
I love this pick.
Oh my
God, this pick.
This is—I can't believe I put this on my list, but. I got to be true to who I am. I got to be true to who myself. I love raunchy, cheesy, gritty humor. And I'm talking about Bad Santa. And yes, me and Alex went to the theater and saw Bad Santa too.
It's
even more funnier than part one.
No way.
It is. It is freaking awesome. And if you got yourself $10 extra, Austin, you need to go see this at part
That's
two.
Awesome.
Yeah, It's just as. So, oh man. Where do I start? This really shows my bad side. I'm probably going to have to, after the podcast tonight, repent of just putting this one on the list. It's raunchy, it's vulgar, it's dirty humor, and it's just downright nasty. Billy Bob Thornton plays a washed-up safecracker with a little person as his elf sidekick. Oh, God, have mercy. This movie is just all sorts of horrible but guilty pleasures at the same time. And it's just, it is, how do I explain this? It's just raunchy, cheesy. I'm just going to shut up now and let Austin.
So that's such a good choice. It hurts me that I didn't, because that's probably the funniest Christmas movie I've ever seen.
It's very bad.
It's so bad. It's good. Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, speaking of it's so bad, it's good. My next choice, my number three choice, is a movie that is, it's not considered a treasure by a lot of people, but for some reason, I love it and I watch it a lot. The original Grinch, the animated movie, it's great. It's a great movie. It's wonderful. It's cute. Yay. But Jim Carrey how do I say this? I want to be him. I want to be Jim Carrey, okay? And when he was the Grinch, and I watched this when I was younger, it was just so good. I love – and see, at that point, I wasn't really attached to the original Grinch because I hadn't, you know, had the opportunity to go back and watch the original. I have since. But I became attached to this. This is my Grinch. Jim Carrey is my Grinch. And it's weird because I know a lot of critics that just don't like this movie. And I'll admit, it's not the best movie ever, but it's hilarious. It's quotable. It's one of the most quotable Christmas movies. And every year it continues to go up in, you know, you'll see these articles online. It's like, what's a Christmas movie that's great that you'll go back and watch all the time? It continues to creep up those lists. And I think that's because Jim Carrey is like a fine wine. His performances get better with age, and the Dumb and Dumbers of the world and the Grinches of the world, the Masks of the world, man, you can look back at those movies and just crack up at how absolutely funny this guy is. So it's a controversial pick, but I love Jim Carrey's Grinch.
And just to tag along with you, Austin, what you said, if you happen to be in Orlando, Florida, Universal puts on this magical thing called Grinchmas, where they actually will have actors who sound exactly like and look exactly like Jim Carrey's Grinch, and you can meet him in real life and actually have full-on conversation with this character from the film. It is epic, as well as who's running around Whoville. So it's really amazing. So you can actually
awesome having a geeky moment right now.
It's so, I just wanted to throw that out. So it only is from December the 3rd through January the 1st every year in Orlando.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm going, Max. I can't go, but I want to go.
I'm not going,
Max. Come on,
Max.
Sorry.
Well, my number three is an awesome movie. I think you guys have heard of the movie Elf.
Mm. Oh,
oh,
yeah! It's one of the best holiday movies ever. That's why it made the top five on my list. It's a little bit ridiculous, but let's be serious. I mean, what Will Ferrell movie isn't ridiculous, right?
That's pretty true.
As a character, though, Buddy is spot on and perfectly captures the spirit of Christmas. And Zooey Deschanel is the perfect counterpart. I just love whenever she and Will do the baby It's Cold Outside.
That's yes.
I loved that.
The shower scene. Yeah.
The movie makes me laugh. It's packed full of fantastic one-liners.
Cotton-headed Ninny Muggins.
That's right. And and it also warms the heart. It's a favorite that must be watched every single year. Love that movie.
And you know one thing I like about Elf, too, is it actually ties into the old Snowman films from the 60s?
It does. I love that.
Isn't that great?
It does.
Anyway, that's Lindsay Badger. Awesome pick, my dear. Oh. All right, Mikey, what's yours number three, man?
All right, my number three is going to be, if this is the kind of Christmas movie, either hate it or you love it, because just before Christmas, they play it 24 hours 24. Straight through.
I already know what it is.
So it's a Christmas Story.
Oh,
I mean,
Christmas Story. Oh, my God.
This is like, this movie... I could watch it for the 24 hours that it's on.
Yeah.
It's just great. You know, between, you know, the mishaps in the family, the kid with his tongue stuck to the flagpole,
it's classic.
The Bumpus Hounds, I mean, and that boiler. I mean, the guy needs a new boiler.
That guy needs a new boiler so crazy. Bad, dude. Oh, man. You'll put your eye out, Ralphie.
Yes, and...
Yeah,
and you should have seen it coming because he sure was going to do it,
and
too.
And you know, A Christmas Story, when it actually came out in the theaters, it really didn't get any much reviews at all. I mean, it was kind of, they considered it a box office bomb. But in later years, as you progress into the late 80s and the early 90s, it started becoming a cult classic. And that's when we found out that truly this is a cult classic. And I think.
And it's become so popular. The original house is located in Ohio, and you can actually bid on spending a night Christmas Eve into Christmas Day.
Are you serious?
They let you spend a night in there.
I
did not know that. I just channel my inner Johnny Carson.
Don't they give you like a raffle to give away one of the lamps every year too?
I'm not sure about that, but I just know about the house, you know, that you can, I think it's a bid, like almost like a bid type thing that you can bid to stay on it, stay in it overnight.
Wow. A Christmas Story. Holy cow. That's great.
Classic.
That's a classic one. Well, from number three to number two. And of course, you know, I'm going to throw another spider in your dumplings. And and I'm a kid of the 80s, so I got to go with my roots here. I got to go with Gremlins every time.
I love Gremlins. Love it.
It is a horror flick that is around Christmas time that is just, it's just awesome.
How could he scary?
Look at the little Mogwai. Look at him. But this is a great movie, and I remember watching this when it came on the movie channel. Back in the 80s, the movie channel would give you a 1 month free viewing as a kind of a little teaser for the rest of the year. Well, it just so happens they did that 1 month in Christmas time. Well, guess what came out the following year in 85 on the movie channel? Gremlins. And so here I am in front of this old tube-type TV that only has 13 channels on it, watching Gremlins for the first time as an 80s kid. And so it was amazing. And so it came out in theaters in 84, and it's just another Christmas horror genre from the 80s that just introduced the world to a Mogwai. And the phrase "Don't feed them after midnight" become a cult classic. Yeah. So, what happens when you feed the Mogwai after midnight? Well, he multiplies, and then you know you put a little sun on him, and next thing you know, you've got yourself a gremlin. So be careful with the gremlins, but definitely got to mention the gremlins for sure.
Oh, gremlins!
Good choice.
Yeah. Terrified me as a kid.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love it. I was a weird kid growing up, man. I saw all the weird stuff.
I still want to take a Mogwai home and cuddle him, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great, Joe. I love it.
Thank you, man.
Love that pick, man.
Thanks, dude.
So I guess I'll go ahead and give my number two pick. It was inevitable. It was going to be on somebody's list at some point. Christmas Vacation. You guys ever heard of this little classic? Okay. It's hard not to be a fan of this family's crazy adventures. This is one of those classics that just has the humor.
Yeah.
It has the family bonding, and it just has the stupidest of jokes, but they work.
Oh, yeah.
They work. This whole movie works, just like Vacation, which, you know, asked me to compare the two. It's a hard thing to do because I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just one of those movies that I will rewatch. It doesn't matter how old I get or how old this film gets. I will rewatch it every single year because it is so funny. And, Joe, you know this better than anybody. Sometimes our family gets together and they just remind me of the Griswolds, man.
Oh.
They just remind me of the quirky and the silly and the making the stupidest jokes. But it's just, we just.
A lot of flatulence. A lot of flatulence involved.
That's what I was waiting on. Yeah, a lot of flatulence.
A lot of flatulence. But yeah, absolutely. And I just keep thinking of poor Aunt Bethany. Is Rusty still in the Navy, Clark? and you got the old papaw and is give my stogie, you know. And I remember, what is it?
Oh, see, that's the thing. It's so quotable.
The turkey, though, you guys.
Oh, man. Don't even.
And let's not forget the cousin. I can't say it on here because the crapper's full. I can't say the real word.
Oh, man.
And when they go to turn on the lights and it doesn't turn on and she goes and there's like that big knotted mess of everything jammed into one socket.
Oh, God, so good. Great. All right, Lindsay Badger, you're number two. All right.
My number two is A Year Without a Santa Claus.
Mm.
All right, so we're rolling it back a little bit. I love all of the old stop-motion animated Christmas specials, but this one is my favorite from 1974, you guys. Didn't even realize how old it was.
Man.
But it's still great. All right. So this one starts off kind of with a sad Santa. He's sick. He's depressed. He wants to cancel Christmas. And his elves get into a heap of trouble. Vixen gets thrown in the pound. And Mrs. Claus has to straighten things out and clean up all the mess. And figure out how to make it snow in the South.
Mm.
Oof.
All right.
All right, so you cue the really cute little sad girl singing Blue Christmas that just breaks your heart, and Santa decides to have a change of heart and rock Christmas Eve, okay? So that's your happy ending of the story. The best part of this whole show is Heat Miser and Cold Miser. They make this show.
Yes.
Their heated sibling rivalry and their snazzy little solo tunes lighten up the mood of this little special, and their bold, flashy personalities they definitely stand out in an otherwise bleak story with thankfully a happy ending. And it always makes my playlist on the Christmas season. So you guys, this one had to make my top five. It really, you know,
I haven't seen that one in
great
a while.
Call.
I'm going to have to go watch that one.
I love watching the Miser Brothers.
The Miser Brothers.
He's Mr. Green Christmas, you know.
So awesome. Good.
Well, Mikey, what is your number two?
Well, my number two is not your traditional movie, I would say. It's more of a special. That's been going on for the last couple of years. I'm a big-time Whovian, and every year on Christmas, the BBC releases the Doctor Who Christmas specials. And they run about as long as a movie is, about an hour and a half. And it just, every year they just outdo themselves, you know, with, you know, some kind of Christmas story, you know, a heartfelt, heartwarming story. And it just makes it just a real turn from what the regular episodes are like. And I've, you know, every year, you know, it's on, it airs Christmas Day, and the BBC broadcasts it, you know, the same time across the world. You know, it's all broadcast at the same time. So, and just the different, just the stories. I, you know, so it's not really so much a movie; it's more of a special. But
I love it. Yeah, I've actually caught a couple of the Christmas specials, and they are really truly remarkable how they tie in, you know, the spirit of Christmas into the world of Doctor Who. And it's it's really awesome, and that's a good pull, man. I'm so glad you included that one on the list. That just shows the diversity of this group, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yeah.
So, all right. So we are at the number ones now. We've made it, and we still have plenty of time to share some family love, our family traditions with you. So as we go in, here is my number one. Of course, it's already been mentioned, but I have to mention it as my number one. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, where to begin with this movie? I mean, I can watch this literally any freaking time of the year. I don't care if it's July. I don't care if it's March or October. I can put this movie in any time and just literally belly laugh. I mean, when he goes off on the rails and his boss has screwed him and he's just sitting there and the whole family's watching him and he just unhinges, it is just freaking awesome. And so many classics from Cousin Eddie's one-liners. Oh, my gosh. And it's just
perfect.
Cousin Eddie, can we just give it up for Dennis
God
Quaid?
God bless him.
Oh, my
God.
He's
the man.
Well, he's indeed, he's running from tax evasion right now, but he's all right.
Well, he used to be the man.
He used to be the man.
Now he's running from the man.
To Aunt Bethany's absentmindedness, the film is seriously always top of my list. And I got to admit, going into this right now, it says December the 11th. I've already seen this movie twice in December alone.
Oh, that's great.
Not including what I've probably seen it. The past year or so. For sure.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, before we move on here, I want to do one honorable mention. If you've never seen the 1982 animated short called The Snowman, where the famous song Walking in the Air was mentioned, you need to check it out. It's a really awesome, it's from the United Kingdom, and it actually aired on the movie channel between movies back in the 80s, but it's from 1982, and the animation on this is it's sketch drawing with color pencils.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
Nice.
That's awesome.
All right, Austin.
Well, guys, this was an easy choice for me. I watch Elf every single year, at least twice around Christmas, at least five times a year in general. Will Ferrell makes me laugh more in that movie than I think anyone ever has in any movie ever, ever. His childlike antics are spot on, and the movie has more heart than I think people give it credit for. I honestly don't think anyone will ever show me a Christmas movie that is going to surpass this, because I love this thing so much. I saw it when I was young. I've always been a very weird kid. My kind of humor is the exact kind of humor throughout this entire movie.
Yeah.
Like literally every joke in this movie lands, even if it's not supposed to be a joke. I am laughing. It doesn't matter. I love Will Ferrell. This is my favorite Will Ferrell movie. I wouldn't say his most Oscar caliber performance, but I would say this is definitely his best movie for me. And every character works, every story element works. By the end, you're smiling, you're just happy, you got the sense of joy in your heart, because the ending, if you think about how dumb the movie is, the ending is actually really sweet and it's really heartfelt, and you've got the narration and you've got the good elements in the jokes that Will Ferrell does with what's his name from Game of Thrones.
You got me off the topic now. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
The one he calls an elf, who is a phenomenal actor, but that scene alone is one of my favorite scenes in Christmas movie history. Guys, Elf is number one on a lot of lists for me, but it's definitely number one on my Christmas list for sure.
I can, and you're talking about Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage, though, and he's such a good dramatic actor, but he works so well in this movie. So.
I dig it.
All right, Badges, what is your number one, my dear?
All right, number one, Austin. I'm sorry, but you're going down, because
Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original TV special from 1966, is the best one ever.
Not Jim Carrey, I'm sorry.
I love Jim Carrey. He did a great job, but he is not this girl's Grinch. When I think of the Grinch, in my mind, I think of the bright green neon, not that army green plastic crap, the bright green neon curly, twirly, mischievous smile, accompanied by the rich voice of Thurl Ravencroft singing, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch."
You're a mean one.
Jim Carrey doesn't have that. Jim Carrey doesn't have that. So from the Grinch's loyal dog, Max, to the sweet, innocent little Cindy Lou Who that looks kind of like a mermaid because she has her jammies on and it's weird, but it's cute. To all of the wacky Seussical contraptions, and don't forget the roast beast. The story seems to leap straight off of the pages of the Dr. Seuss classic book, and it springs to life with all the bright colors and the sounds and the animation. This is a huge defining piece of my childhood and Christmases past, and to make sure that I watch this one every single year, I own it on probably every format possible so that my kids don't miss it every single year. And I have a little fun fact for you guys tonight. And it's a little bit embarrassing, but I'm going to share it anyways. Little Lenny Lou Who was my dad's nickname for me when I was growing up.
Oh, that's cool.
That came from this show. So, yeah, it's kind of special in my place. This little special place right here in my heart. Forever and ever and ever. That's so, you awesome. Guys, yes. This Grinch is the real Grinch.
I think it depends on who, whatever genre, whatever era you're from. I mean, we all have that one that catches us. All right, Mike, what's your top number one, my friend? You're muted, Mike.
Hello, oh, Mike. Mike, hello.
Hello. There we go. Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like we've kind of beat this one to death tonight. And, you know, this is the movie that just keeps on giving, like the Jelly to Month Club. you just can't beat it. Hallelujah. Where's the Tylenol?
That's a gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
My number one is definitely Christmas Vacation. Anybody who drains their RV into a storm sewer, you know, on Christmas.
They deserve that spot. They deserve that spot.
That's the same number one.
It's a good one.
It's definitely a magical moment. See the sewers glowing green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right. Oh man! That's
number one, and I got the ornament to go with it.
Oh, look at you, dude! Is that the holiday?
That is fantastic.
That is gorgeous. That is glorious.
I think the Griswolds moved down the street because I have a neighbor that house looks just like that.
Oh man, that is Mike. You never cease to amaze me, man. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, that is our top five, and I'm going to share really quick, and each of us are going to share really quick some of our favorite family traditions that we like to do. I know we're going to go over a little bit this week. I know there's a lot of meat and potatoes to this, but hey, it's our Christmas episode, and so we want to get this out. So for me, I'm going to just list my three right quick. One thing I love is I love everything peppermint, and so I look forward to every seeing this wonderful world of peppermint. I mean, holy goodness. I mean, from peppermint fudge chocolates to coffee creamers to peppermint toilet paper. I don't care. I freaking love me some peppermint. And
peppermint
mocha. It's just so good. It's so great. And you know, another thing I got to have too is always I got to get some eggnog. Alex and I started this tradition of drinking eggnog in a cup while watching Christmas Vacation together. And it's just something done every year since we've been married. So it just seems right. I got to have eggnog. It's my favorite brand of eggnog is Borden's eggnog, particularly. And see, if you see this right here, see Borden? He's already actually got the brand that I like.
Look at it.
Last but not least, one of my last things that we like to do as a married couple, we live in Orlando. And, of course, the theme parks is our Christmas. Alex and I love Orlando during Christmas. Disney, Universal, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, all of it. They go completely all out for the holidays. Disney is the place to be for Christmas cheer. From giant gingerbread houses to Mickey's Christmas Party and Epcot's Candlelight Processional, which is narrated each night by a celebrity actor. I was there and I got to see Whoopi Goldberg one year. It was amazing. Universal hosts the Grinchmas and Macy's Holiday Float Parade, where SeaWorld houses the Sea of Dancing Trees and Rudolph's Christmas Town. I love my home for the holidays, not to mention ice at the Gaylord Palm Resort. And
cool.
That's why a lot of times on Instagram, I use the hashtag, I live where you vacation.
Man.
Yeah, Joe's Facebook has been blowing up recently with all of the amazingness that is Florida's Christmas.
Florida's Christmas.
Jealous every single weekend, you guys.
Go.
This guy lives in an awesome place.
It is. Yes, he does. Yes, you do, Joe.
All right. Austin, what is your family stuff?
Okay, so real quick, every single year for the last 10 years, we've had our Christmas celebration in good old, wait for it, Pikeville, Kentucky. Nobody knows where that is. Okay, but until 2013, we would have everyone on my dad's side of the family to come to our house when we lived there and hang out, which meant I got some quality cousin time, which was my favorite part. Joe knows. He came over a few times, and we would always have a grand old time. My favorite year, Joe, was when we filmed ourselves fighting each other. Remember that? Like we were battling and throwing each other on the beds.
I do remember that. It was pretty awesome. That? Yeah, that was fun, dude.
And my seventh grade self made some of the coolest, they're terrible, but some of the coolest videos you will ever watch of just the Burt battle, man. It was the Burt battle. But it was cousin be cousin. But after that, we moved to Somerset. So now we actually go to our grandmother's house and celebrate there. But then after that, we will go to the Hilton Garden Inn. We will stay at the hotel. We will swim. We will run around the hotel because it's completely empty. And I know it doesn't seem like much, but really just getting to see your family on Christmas in a hotel room, mm-hmm. bringing your friends over, just eating together. It's great, guys. And that's my favorite part of Christmas. But if we're talking food, Joe, food. I love two things on Christmas. One, my grandmother, Brenda, her recipe for those big old chocolate peppermints, those really hard ones that she used to make. Mm-hmm. And my mom got the recipe and she started making them. Lord. and also, for some reason, I really like vegetable pizza. And the only time I ever eat it is on Christmas. So I consider that a Christmas thing for me. So vegetable pizza, right? I'm weird. another thing that I love is just driving around. And me and Madison have kind of made this tradition. We will drive around town during Christmas. And we will just look at the sights and sounds, whether it's people fighting each other in malls or terribly hung up lights in eastern Kentucky. Christmas is the time of year of interesting behavior, but Christmas is also the time of year where you can just look around and just it's so distinct, and it's always so wonderful.
You're
and
so
it either
right
looks
about
good
people
or
fighting
looks
over
terrible.
Stuff.
Dude, have you ever been to an Eastern Kentucky Walmart?
The Pikeville Walmart is the worst place to be on Black Friday.
I've heard so many stories about Kentucky Walmarts. I just want to go to see it.
Rednecks. Listen here, Lindsay Badger. Rednecks will slice your throat on Black Friday for a pack of cigarettes.
Listen, I watched a woman. I watched a woman beat another woman with a towel and a pillow. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
That is so funny.
You can't pay for that entertainment anywhere.
That's my favorite part.
All right, Lindsay. What's yours?
All right, guys. We're going to kick it off with a little bit of sweetness. Homemade sugar cookies.
Ooh,
this is a tradition that my mom started with my brother and I when we were little. And she taught us how to make the sugar cookies from scratch. And then we got our chance to get our hands a little bit dirty, mixing up all the ingredients, cut out the dough in our favorite cookie shapes, and then watch through the oven. You sit on the little chair and you just watch them bake through the oven while the smell of the fresh cookies just fill the house, you guys. Seriously, that's
praise Jesus.
For warm, beautiful cookies. And then after they cooled off, we got tons of fun decorating them however we wanted. We had colored icings and sugars and sprinkles and Okay, so then after we were done, we picked out our very special favorite one. Each one of us picked one, and those were our Santa cookies. Those were the ones that went on the plate on Christmas Eve with the glass of milk for Santa Claus. And then the rest of them we got to snack on through the following days. You know, it was probably lasted a week. Who knows how many cookies we had. Sugar high for days. Yes. So my mother and I still carry on this tradition. We go to her house with my kids. And they do the same thing. They're not quite old enough to start getting in and doing the cooking part yet, but they still get to decorate. And it is so much fun to watch this generational shift happen with a tradition that my mom started. So that is a really special one for us. Now, my number two is the tale of four Christmases, you guys.
Oh, no.
Four. This one makes me tired just thinking about it. But yeah, four Christmases. Whenever you get married and all of your family lives within driving distance, or at least a short driving distance, you have gift exchanges and dinners for days.
Oh,
Yep.
Days. It's, but I mean, I'm not complaining. I love it. It's amazing. Okay, so here, number one, we spend Christmas morning, Christmas Eve morning, with my in-laws at their house. So my husband's parents, brothers, whatever. And then number two, we go to my parents' house on Christmas Eve and have dinner and exchange and whatever. That's two. So between those two, my little family unit, the four of us, do a quick little gift exchange. That's three. Now, the fourth is an observed Christmas that we usually do the weekend before or after. And it's all of basically anybody still living that's on the Badger family tree gathers together. And we do our own little Christmas exchange. It's a huge whirlwind, but it is so much fun. And I'm so thankful that we have so many people around to be able to spend the holidays with. So that's definitely a big one. And then the last but not least, the grand finale is Christmas morning brunch. Mm. You guys, this is amazing. Okay, so after I've been awakened at the butt crack of dawn, because keep in mind I do have two small children that get Santa Claus. So yeah, we're up before the sun rises on that day. I start cooking, and usually it's pretty simple. I just put together a breakfast casserole, and then my mom and his mom bring sides, and we have breakfast in our jammies while we're watching the kids. But it's not on paper plates. Oh no, I bust out the fancy stuff. We have china. We eat with silver.
You eat with
we
china. Drink
with china.
China.
We bust out the crystal glasses and drink our mimosas in our pajamas, and it is so much fun because we're getting super duper fancy, and we're not super duper fancy at all. It's kind of a giggle, and then we just get to enjoy the rest of the day and just have fun playing the toys and all that stuff. So I mean, it's a busy time of the year, but I would not change it for a minute.
And that's why I live in Florida, where my family has to come to me. No, that is really awesome. And wow, that's really cool. So we've had three different perspectives of three different areas. Mike, what is your favorite Christmas traditions?
Well, I'm going to add a little bit one that you had brought up because we've actually done these together.
Yes.
We've spent a little holidays together at Disney, Universal, SeaWorld. We've done it. I am so missing the Osborne lights.
Oh, God. Me too.
Those were good times down there. I mean, just to be down and they just go all out. And Disney's a great time. You know, holidays a great time of year for Disney. I mean, I'm just one state away, so it's fairly close for me to go down. And, you know, like I said, we spent a couple of those times together, and it was a memorable time, which I definitely enjoyed, and to have, you know, my kids and you and Alex there. And it was just a good time all around, you know. And, like I said, the Osborne lights was one of the things that I'll truly miss there. It was just phenomenal to see that every year. And so, but, going on to my number two, our thing that we used to do years ago when I was a kid, we used to have, you know, the family together for Christmas Eve and then open a few presents and then leave the rest for Christmas. I try to do that with my kids, you know, this year. We just kind of get together. My mother comes to visit for the holidays. She's usually here, and we kind of get together, you know, and try and kind of keep it going a little bit, you know. And also my number one is that we drive around in different areas, like different resorts here, set up Christmas lights that you can actually go with your car and drive through, like the parking lots. And we have Atlanta Motor Speedway here. You kind of go through and they set up and you turn the radio on to one of the stations and the music syncs with the lights. And you just kind of tick your car and you drive through that.
So. That is cool.
And, it's better than we usually go up to Stone Mountain for Christmas. They actually have slides with snow. They create man-made snow, and it's like 70 degrees here, but they still make it work, and they have that going on. Then at night is Christmas, and they shoot the snow out of cannons and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting to see. So we try and do that.
That's cool.
So, that is cool, man. I've never done Stone Mountain, so that's definitely put that on the radar next time we come up. Maybe we can get together and do that. Yep. But we have heard so much cool stuff here tonight. We've heard our top five Christmas movies. We've heard our family traditions. And Team PopX is now going to leave you with our last thing for Christmas, and that is Team PopX's Christmas wish list. For me personally this year, Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to go last. Let's start with Austin. Austin, what do you want for Christmas this year? What's that one thing?
What's that one thing? Oh, okay. Are we talking things that aren't in reach too? That's where I'm going with this.
You know, it can be whatever you want it to be. I mean, it can be that one thing you want for Christmas. I mean, it could be your girlfriend
if you
or
had
your,
a Christmas miracle.
If you whatever.
Well,
you know. I mean, or it could be as simple as an NES classic. You know.
She's great, love her. But if I had the opportunity to get a Canon 70D camera, oh, come on, Joe. I've been wanting a Canon, just a really nice, just a $1,500, just maybe an 80D, but that's a little bit more expensive. But a Canon 70D with a light kit and a really nice wireless mic. Oh, come on. I'm sorry. I just got lost in the...
No. That's the beautiful point. That's the point of it.
But Luke, I need stuff for my YouTube channel. So that's like, I'm pushing. Mom. Come on,
mummy,
mom.
Good. All right, Lindsay Badger, what's your one thing?
All right, my one thing, I was going to go with the NES Classic, but I'm just going to go with some money so I can hold out for the Switch.
Yeah, girl.
The Nintendo Switch and the new Legend of Zelda game.
Oh,
Breath of the Wild. Because you know, Jimmy Fallon got all geeky with that last week, and I am just like all over that right now. That's my one thing.
All right, Mike, what's your one thing?
You know, I have to be honest. I can't really say this something that I want. I mean, it's just I'm just very simple. You know, I'm just more of a giver type person, so and to see people's reactions on from what I do is gift enough for me.
Aww.
I mean, I just
so sweet.
I love her. I just can't say there's anything that I really want. That's you know, that's how I am, you know.
Well, so. I'll end this on this note. I've already gotten everything I want this year. So I don't personally need nor require a one certain thing. I've got a great team, PopX, that is truly outstanding and amazing. And I have an amazing wife who loves me and adores me. And I live in the most awesome place in the world, Orlando, Florida. And I am surrounded by a host of amazing people who love me and support me. So I think I'm good. I think I got everything I need. I don't need anything else. If I get anything for Christmas, that's just bonus. But I think I'm good. So that's from me to you guys, okay? But yeah, you're welcome. And so, as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at the local comic book shop or in the theater, because coming up next week is what? Star Wars Rogue Freaking One.
What is that?
Yeah. Or around geek culture.
I got my ticket.
I do too. It's right over here. Or around geek culture in general, let us know on social media using our brand new PopX hashtag, YoPopX. And Lindsay Badger, your tickets were on the YoPopX hashtag list.
I know.
I know you did. It's awesome. So if you use the hashtag, if you go and see the show, take a selfie in front of the movie poster or with your friends going to see Star Wars this weekend and use that hashtag YoPopX, okay?
Oh, love it. Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
And make sure you follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Pinterest. Everything's at the PopX, or just PopX, sorry, at PopX. Email us at popxcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Also, for future and past shows, always check out our official website, www.popxcast.com.
And guys, I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and on YouTube. Also, guys, the first Rogue One screening was last night, and I'm hearing some very good things. A lot of people are saying it's better than The Force Awakens.
That's right. I've heard the same thing from a couple of my guys at Disney. They got to see it early too, and they said it was freaking amazing. Matt Roseboom was one of them, Lindsay. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Lucky. You guys can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, all over the interwebs.
And I am Joe Burke, a.k.a. at Rodcav, R-O-T-C-A-V on the internet. And, of course, hats off to amazing Team PopX. We got Team PopX, Lindsay Badger. She always holds down the chat room for us. And to Mr. Austin Burke, my cousin. Oh, my God, you're cray-cray. I love you so much. And then Mr. Mike Ippolito for keeping the slides and the graphic club. And then coming on camera. How does that even? Oh, wait. Aunt Bethany's, Aunt Bethany's cat. Oh, my God. All right, guys. Oh, so a little announcement here. Please join us next week for December the 18th. That will be our episode number 42, and that will be the official movie review for Star Wars Rogue One. Look at that graphic. The Death Star is coming. And so
Totally wearing my Darth Vader sweater.
Totally.
That is amazing.
I'm wearing my Yoda shirt. I'm totally wearing my Yoda shirt to the movie theater.
Totally wearing my Darth Vader.
So it's really awesome. And we're going to be taking a two-week hiatus, and we'll be back on the 1st of January. So we'll be coming back with a vengeance for 2017. So we're going to let everybody enjoy the seasons and the holidays after next week's episode. So awesome. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we will see you on next week's show. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Any closing remarks from anybody? Anybody say this?
Rogue One. Rogue One. Rogue One.
Yes. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time on PopX Cast.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.